You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast. This is episode 42 with Jason and Jamie. We are sitting here at the last day of the year, and hopefully, if all goes well, we'll actually get this recording out, published for you to be able to hear and enjoy. And we want to definitely take the time to stop and really look back at what God has done. I think this is an important, you know, practice and habit for us to instill in our life and daily practice. Of course, we're thinking, oh, 2020, what's the vision for the new year? What do we want to do? What do we personally want to, you know, accomplish in a year? And all those things are really good. But it's just as important, I believe, to look back and see, what has God done? How have we seen God move? And even what has God taught us? And there's really two important reasons to do this. First of all, it helps encourage our faith. It's very important for us to see the work of God as he moves and be able to remind ourselves of those things. Because it's so easy in the wash of all that goes on in a year to just forget or lose focus on, oh yeah, what did really go on this year and how did we see God move? I think the example, one of the best examples of this for us is David in the Psalms, where so often he will look back on what God has done, and then he looks forward to the promises of what God is going to do. And with those two things, they kind of become the assurance in his heart that God is going to move, that God's going to work in his current, today circumstances. And so mostly that's the reason we would encourage this kind of practice, to look back and see the work of God. And I definitely want to throw out this opportunity to you, Jason. I know you've been missing for a couple weeks because of the holidays and all the craziness going on. Maybe give our listeners an update on where you've been, what's been going on, and then maybe engage the question, what has God done? How have you seen God move and work? And what has God taught you through 2019?
Yeah, thanks for asking and bringing that up. Yeah, definitely 2019 has been a very full and good year. I mean, just so much for my wife Whitney and I to be thankful for. So much has happened, so many good things, and so many changes. And with all that, you know, with a lot of change in life, you kind of have that sense of, change in, we're told change is good, where we know that change can usually, hopefully, it means good things are changing for the better and there's growth happening. But it also kind of leaves you a little bit destabilized. You feel like the ground beneath you is kind of reverberating in a sense. And so it's been good. So for instance, just in this last year, we've, the biggest thing in September was our third boy was born, Ryan David, and he's now a little over three months old. So he was born at the end of September. So as all you who have been young parents out there, you know what an amazing privilege and joy, but really how taxing it is also to take care of a little one. And it's something where, you know, we're now with three boys, and they're personality-wise, in the older two especially, we see very different, and there's more and more thought going into, okay, how am I going to raise these boys to be men and to be godly men who love their Savior, love others, are gentle, kind, generous, brave, you know, all those good qualities you want to see in young men. That's something that's been weighing on me in a good way, for the last year, just as we've been anticipating Ryan's arrival. I've been thinking through all the ways a father in particular has an influence over his sons, and just the importance of leaving them an example to follow and being there as an encouragement, because, you know, sons need that encouragement from their fathers. And so anyway, that's been a big change. And then more recently, I have accepted a interim pastor position at the Gathering Church in Corvallis. And so that's Corvallis, Oregon. Most of you know is the home of the Oregon State Beavers. If you're an Oregonian, you'd know that. And it's just been an amazing time. It's, we felt like it's kind of been a very fast-moving change in a lot of ways, just because it's only kind of things kicked off as far as I was first beginning preaching there roughly 2 months ago. And then since then, was hired, and it's now it's been official for a little over a month. So it's been good, but it's a lot has happened even in that small amount of time. We've been able to have a community outreach event with a Christmas concert, been able to get to know the neighbors in the area surrounding the gathering as well. And it's been just super great. Our transition from Salem Heights, where we were in attendance, and I was there as an intern, it was just a very good, beautiful transition. They sent me off just in a very kind and generous way. And we're hoping to partner together as churches in the Willamette Valley going forward even. So, yeah, a lot to be thankful for. So many lessons learned and so many things that I see in myself, areas that I need to grow, and I'm eager for God to work on in me.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's definitely a lot for sure in 1 year, and really kind of, you know, different areas of change of stuff happening, going on. And I know it's, you know, it's a difficult question to answer in some ways, because while we see the work of God evident in everything to some degree, what would you say are the specific, like, if you were going to distill down into just a couple main points, what the lessons God has taught you this year are? I don't know if I gave you a lot of time to think about that or not, but just kind of maybe summarize. Okay, here's kind of the overarching lessons that came out of the whole year.
Yeah, well, like I said, so many, and it is hard to boil it down, I suppose, but I guess one big thing is, so change is the only constant, they say. You know, change you can expect throughout the years, and sometimes it seems like change is happening at a more rapid pace than it did earlier in life. That might just be perception, but it certainly seems that way in my life. And you need a constant. You need something, as I was talking about earlier, you need something beneath your feet. You need to know there's a stability in life. There's that that core conviction that we have from Scripture that God is our rock and our fortress, our high tower. The psalmist speaks about us being, you know, wallowing in the miry clay, and then our feet being set upon the solid rock. And I think that just mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you need to have that constant in life, knowing that the sovereign God is on his throne. He's in control of every situation you face in life. And this really is, it's a radical perspective, radically different, I should say, from the person who has no relationship with God. And the reason being, we can look at a past year and think of, oh, that was a dumb mistake on my part, or, oh, man, I wish I hadn't gotten tangled up with that mess, or, you know, that person has wronged me. And we can focus on the negatives looking at our past year so easily. But we have a promise in Scripture. And as children of God, we can say this in Romans 8:28, a well-known verse, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And I mean, what a load off each of our minds to know when bad things happen, and really we should expect bad things to happen every year. When those bad things happen, we can expect God to use it for good, and he will. And I think that's something that for me is such an encouragement, something that it's not so much a new lesson as it has been like, it's been a thing in my mind that's been refreshed. It's something that I've kind of learned anew, just seeing how this has played out in so many areas of my life, that sometimes you have disappointments and you can feel, you know, a little beaten up at times and wonder, okay, when is this stage of life going to be over? And then God is bringing something together, even using that bad situation to bring about this fruit in your life. I think that's an encouragement that we all need, that it's that God is with us in every struggle. He's not an aloof God. He's not a distant God. He's one who suffers alongside us. That's what it means to be compassionate. He's a compassionate God. So yeah, that's been a huge, I guess, one learning point, if you can put it that way, for me. I'm going to have to hear from you, though, before I think of another one.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, I think I would say, you know, my year has sort of been marked by the opposite of yours, where, you know, I'm sort of going the other direction, where in my case, I have been serving as the pastor of a church for the last couple of years and am now in the transition process out of that, which is really interesting in its own, you know, its own right. It does create, you know, new opportunities. I'm back in a season of doing, you know, interviews and walking through application process with other churches, kind of looking for, you know, what the call of God will be in 2020 and what that's going to look like. And so in one sense, you're celebrating what's already underway, what God's already doing, and what's clearly going in a really cool and exciting direction. And at the same time, also looking for the new things. But as I really, you know, have thought about for the last like day or two here, okay, what are the big lessons? I actually go back to the very beginning of the year, early in this year, January, February. I was having a conversation with one of my former professors, and he asked me a simple question. He was like, how do you pray? What, you know, what are the methods or how you go about prayer? And so I kind of talked about that, and you know, one of the things that has been a very strong part of my prayer process is, if it be God's will, I often use that phrase, you know, in prayers of all kinds. And he asked me, why do you do that? You know, what's the reason you do that? My response at first was just, well, I'm just recognizing the sovereignty of God in all things. And he goes, I wonder if that speaks more to your lack of faith than it does the need to recognize the sovereignty of God. And at first I was like, what? That's crazy talk, you know? And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that he's actually right in what he was saying, at least for me, is I really didn't necessarily expect God to respond. And as a result, you know, you sort of pray that way with a back door, in a sense, saying, well, you know, if it's in God's will, he's going to do it. If not, it's not going to happen. And really what that comes down to was a lack of faith on my part. And the more I thought about this and really pondered this reality, the more I realized I've actually not really enjoyed prayer that much overall. I mean, certainly do it quite a lot, certainly in a personal sense, and also in a ministry sense, we're constantly in prayer for, you know, the good of the church, in prayer for our people, and the various struggles and issues that go on in their lives. And, you know, prayer for God's healing, God's intervention, God's conviction, you know, depending on what the needs are. And certainly in my own life, you know, prayers for God to move and work and do this or that, and prayers of confession and for sin and all these sort of things. But it's all very business, at least, you know, that's what it had been. And I ended up realizing, you know, part of the reason I'm not very excited about prayer is that I really don't believe that God is going to move. Not to say I question whether God can or has the power to, and certainly does when he wants to. None of that was questioned in my mind at all. What was questioned is whether God would, and just praying, not really expecting to see God move. And so through that process, what ended up happening is I began to really expect God to move, expect God to act in prayer, and not necessarily what specifically I was praying, you know, that God would always answer the way I was asking him to answer or that sort of thing, but just looking for God to respond, looking for God to move. And what was really cool and very encouraging to my faith as this year has gone on, the more I prayed with expectation, the more I saw God move. And I don't think that it's God wasn't moving before, it's I wasn't looking for it, and as a result, I didn't see it, if that makes sense. And so that's really been, I would say, the number one thing that sort of has been overarching in overall of this year, at least in my life, is just praying with expectation. And what's really interesting is, as a result, I've become much more excited about prayer. It's become a I don't know what the word is, but it's just become more, I guess, full of life in terms of how I pray and what I pray about and how much I want to pray. All of those things have been affected just by simply recognizing the truth of what God is doing and looking forward to, okay, God is going to move. God is going to move, and we're going to see it if we're looking for it. And so that's been, I'd say, number one. And then number two, kind of corresponding with that, then now that sort of set the ground for this transition that I'm a part of now, where it really is something that took a lot of prayer, because by every measure, the church that I'm working with right now is doing really well. It's very successful. We're seeing God move, and it's just really cool what's been going on. And yet I feel like God is calling me away from that for the good of the church, recognizing that the need of the church is something different. And at first, you know, that was kind of a struggle for me, because I'm like, but God, you know, everything's going well, so why step out of that? I mean, yes, there's some frustrations happening and, you know, those challenges that are always there, but overall, everything's great. So why get out of it now? I mean, normally you wait and get out when things are bad. And basically the response of God is, look forward to how I'm going to answer prayer in the life of the church and in your own personal life as well. And look forward to see what's going to come about because of this. And that sort of really changed my perspective in this transition to, now I'm really excited for the church. I'm excited to see what's God going to do. How is that going to look like? And I honestly look forward to 10 years from today, looking back and being like, man, look at how much better that church is doing today as a result of all of this. And so I would say those are really the two biggest overarching things that God has been doing this year that I've really seen and have really encouraged my faith and even challenged me to grow in some ways.
Yeah, it's great just to hear you. I mean, obviously we've been talking about a lot of this, Jamie, but it's actually nice to hear how you've been working through that in your prayer life. And I mean, prayer, I think most Christians would say, is something they haven't mastered. It can often feel tedious, and like it can feel like we're wasting time. And so that's actually really encouraging just for me personally to hear you put it in those terms. And expecting God to act is, you know, that's really what faith, you know, if that's not faith, I don't know what is. You know, you are expecting much of God when you pray big prayer requests. And, you know, and if you're framing that obviously with the confession, the adoration, you know, you're recognizing who this holy God is that you're praying to. Prayer takes on a life of its own, and it is something I'm wanting to continue to grow in and struggle with and give my time to more and more. So as I was thinking about just in this past year, and taking on more of a leadership role as the year has progressed, I see that there's good insights from so many people, and I think that leadership, like prayer, in fact, is something that it can be a struggle and it can be tough and challenging, but so rewarding if I think you learn some principles and you always be humble in your leadership. No one wants to follow the arrogant, you know, I'm wanting to say type A personality, but that's not fair. Really, it's not so much type A, it's the rigid, I'm going to do things my way type of person, and not receive feedback, not humbly get input from others, things like that. I think these are all things that I've known about, but you know, again, it's like you live things out and it's like you learn it on a new level. And one of those things is when it comes to in leadership in particular, personal conflicts. And not to say that I've had a year full of personal conflicts, but I think they're kind of just inevitable that there's going to be some conflict whenever you're in a position of almost any kind of leadership. Not that, you know, you need to wait until you're the, you know, pastor of a church before you experience any conflict. There's leadership at so many different levels, obviously. And what I've found is there's the way that my instincts, and really what I mean is my flesh, wants to respond to conflict in the moment. And that's never a good thing to do. I often, and just knowing myself, learning this about myself, I often want to see change, for instance, happen very quickly. I want to, you know, and I can be impatient, and I can think that things will happen on a very straightforward basis. And the reality is that things rarely happen that way. It's often, you know, when people disagree with you, there's a right way to approach that. And you know, Proverbs 27, I think, is something that speaks really well to this. 27:4 says, "Wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy?" And then verse 5, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and profuse are the kisses of an enemy. One who is full loathes honey, but to one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. Like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home." And then on down to verse 9, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away." And from that, just that short segment of Proverbs 27, I get this picture of the right way to handle personal conflict. And and I've been saying leadership, but really I should be saying relationships. any relationship will, the more you get to know somebody, the deeper that relationship becomes, you will inevitably have some level of conflict. And that's not like it's a red flag, like, oh no, this is a bad relationship. That means that you need to work through stuff. And that means that you need to understand one another and work hard to communicate. And I mean, I'm thinking of so many different areas of my life where, marriage and friendships and relationships at work and all over the place. It's so important that we not rush to conclusions about people. That's something I've learned. Again, is we should assume the best intentions of others. Obviously it's if something has gone sideways, the most natural thing is to want to blame somebody. And I think that's something that we all need to work on, probably. I know I do. Is to take a step back from the moment and just try to evaluate everything that could have gone into why that thing went wrong. And then when you do approach someone, rather than doing it in wrath and anger, as Proverbs 27:4 talks about, you can rebuke as a friend, and rather than seeing it as an opportunity to simply criticize or even tear down, it's an opportunity to build someone up. If your goal is, I want to encourage this brother or sister, and I want to build them up, I want to see them grow, even as I am expressing something of a rebuke, something that I wish they hadn't done, there's so many ways you can turn that into a positive experience rather than a negative one, which it seems like it so often can be in relationships. And so that's something I think God has been showing me, is that my gut instinct to act quickly often is the path of the fool, as we see in Proverbs and elsewhere. And often the best way to approach someone who has either wronged you, or at least the perception is that they've wronged you or done something wrong, is to ask questions and find out where they were at, what led to that decision or that action. Try to understand them and look for the ways that you can encourage them and build them up in that interaction.
Yeah, I think that's really good, valuable stuff, and certainly from a pastoral perspective, because you really have, three commands as a spiritual leader, as a shepherd of a church, and that's to protect the church. So you're guarding them against, heresy, guarding them against destructive beliefs and cults and ideas that are against the word of God and the practice of the Bible. And at the same time, you're also to teach them and the true gospel, the true word of God, the true nature and character of God, and also seek unity. And those three things are all the challenge independently of one another, and yet the call is to walk in line with all three at the same time. And certainly we can only do that by the power of Christ, for sure, because like you're saying, our natural tendency is not there at all. But it is cool to see how God just continues to bring faithfulness as we need it, as we walk and grow and learn and face the challenges that he's called us to and the new beginnings. I do want to ask in that light then, so looking forward, obviously you don't know how 2020 is going to go or what all is going on in there, but from what you have seen this year, how do you see the faithfulness of God moving forward in the next?
Yeah, so I mean, huge thing to think about, and I'm anticipating awesome things to happen at the gathering. I'm expecting great things. I have a very hopeful outlook for 2020, and at the risk of sounding cheesy, I think this really might be one of the greatest years of my life. I just have that sense about it. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm also very much at the same time feeling a new sense, a keen sense of responsibility as a shepherd of God's people. Even though I have had a shepherding and a teaching role in past years, this is on a new level because it's a whole church body, a local church. And I think that it's a good thing that I feel that. I feel like if it wasn't there, then there would be actually some reason to be a little bit concerned, like, am I taking my role seriously enough? And I'm expecting this to blossom, and I'm not expecting things to go downhill. I'm expecting growth and joy to happen in the ministry. I'm also expecting some tough times because, full disclosure, I think as a pastor's kid, I grew up in the home of a pastor. I have seen both. I've seen the joys and the challenges of ministry on the home front. And I know there's parts of ministry that can be extremely taxing on the family, on the pastor's wife, things like that. So I want to be there for them. I want to be encouraging them in this time of transition, and building them up, because obviously they are where my ministry priorities are first, is at home. And but then also, as I'm thinking through everything that I'm hoping to see happen at the gathering and I'm excited to see happen, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good time. I'm excited. And I'm eager to see what God does in that community, because I think it is a community that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ desperately. There's that, you know, university on campus in the city, I should say, which, when you think about the statistics of 30% of freshman students enter college with no religious affiliation these days, that's, you know, it's staggering, but it's also like, wow, what a harvest is waiting, and what an opportunity. We just need to be willing to go, and we need to be faithful to the charge. And so that's my hope, and that's my great ambition for this coming year, is to be hopeful and to take seriously the charge I've been given, and to grow in my love for not just the gathering, but for the church as a whole and for God's mission on earth.
Yeah, that's really good. That's a great way to think through and apply the things that God has taught over the course of this last year, and look forward to, again, you know, projecting to a certain degree, since, like you said, we have really no idea how it's going to go down, but we know that God is going to be faithful, and there's going to be some really cool stuff. I would say something really similar to that. I have this sense of excitement for what God is going to do, even though I don't know what exactly that means. I don't know what that's going to look like per se. In fact, I've sort of had a mixed emotional state, I guess you could say, for the last couple months here at the end of this year, where part of me is just super excited, super looking forward to what God's going to do. And then there's another part of me that has been really battling a lot of my own self-destructive thoughts and patterns, where I just have so much going on that, in terms of what's happening on ministry, what's happening in on the work front, what's happening in my own personal heart, you know, all these things sort of colliding to some degree. And with that, on a personal level, not only are we entering a new decade in terms of years, but I'm also entering a new decade in terms of life as well, and age. And as a result, you know, you have all these like, oh man, you know, did I accomplish enough for God, or in who He's created me to be, or did I not? And the result of all of this is just, creates that anxiety of the unknown. And yet, the more I look back on what God has done, His faithfulness, that He has moved in all this prayer, it leads me to have a great amount of confidence and expectation that God's going to do some great things, continuing to grow us and mold us more and more into the men He's called us to be, and to provide for the kind of ministry leaders that we're called to be, but also to just continue on to show us who He is, how He's faithful in all of the circumstances in life. And for that, this Vision 2020 year is going to be an awesome one, I believe. You've been listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you want to subscribe, feel free to do so on iTunes or Google Play. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to hit us up on social media or send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. To hear past episodes, go to our website, faithunpacked.com. And as always, we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.